Shalom to all. Today's office hold up Laman Chesa. We are starting Laman Zayin Obey is the second to last line. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas March Mem Sarabas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. So we can discuss a Mesukenes. The Mishnah had stated that in order to prove that an animal died because of the Shechita and not due to its pre-existing condition that some Mesukenes was about to die, it needs to be Mefarkes and make some sort of shaking or jerking movement, and that shows that it still has some sort of life and vitality to it. Now there are certain movements that are seen even after death, so those wouldn't be a good indication. So Gemara tells us Ashechinu Shmuel Tamid Rav Shmuel Fan the Tamidim of Rav Amar Lehu. Asked them, "My Amar Rav Musukenes, what does Rav say about Musukenes?" So Amar Leh, they told him, "Hachim Rav, this is what Rav says." Lam Chesam Alf on top. Gaya, if the animal load, that's LOWED, that basically means it mooed, or Vitila Rei, it defecated, or Vikishkish Haba Azna, it shook its ear, Hariz Apirkos, that's considered Apirkos, that means it still had life to it, and it died because of the Shechita, not beforehand. So Amar Leh, he asked him, "It's Srichale La Abba, La Azuze Aune?" Does Abba, which was Shmuel's term of affection and Chashivas for Rav, does he really require that much of Apirkos that it has to shake its ear? That's something which is a sign that it has a lot of life in it. He really requires that much. Because I say, says Shmuel, kol she'eino dvarim shemisa isa. The only thing that's required is a pirkos that is not going to happen after an animal dies regularly. Meaning, as long as the animal doesn't do something that it would do after it dies regularly, that's a sufficient enough pirkos. We don't have to have something more than that. And we clarify this. My ninhu dvarim shemisa isa. What does it mean? Things that misa will do or will happen by misa. So Rav Anan said, liyidim farshli minayim mar Shmuel, meaning Master Shmuel, he himself explained to me that haisa yadik fufa. Let's say the front leg of the animal was bent. Stretched it out. Davar shamisa isa. That's something that even a dead animal would do. So that's not an indication of anything. Whereas pshuta v'kafa, if it was stretched out and then it bent it in, dvarm she'ina misa isa. That's not something that's going to be seen by a dead animal. So that shows that it still has some sort of life to it. Either which way, we see that Shmuel is more makel than Rav, and he doesn't require such a strong sign that the animal had died because of the shechita and not beforehand. Ask more. Hold on, Mike Mashmalan. What's the chiddush over here? Tanina, we learned that finish in our Mishnah. Behima daka shapashta yada v'leich zira. If a small animal stretched out its front leg and it didn't bring it back in, it didn't fold it up. So psula, that's puzzle, she'ina el yitzas nefesh, because that could just be an indication of yitzas nefesh, meaning that it died already and not because of the shechita. Now that's mashma, ha, hechzira, ksheira, that if it had brought its leg back in, it folded it up, then it is kosher. So what do we need Shmuel to tell us this for? The answer is ima masis, and if we just had the Mishnah, havamina, I would think, dafka de chaifa upashta v'hadar chaifala. That's only if by the shechita, its leg was already folded, then it stretched it out, and then it folded it back up, that would be a valid sign of pirkos. Alop shu tekfafsa, loy, but if it was already stretched out, and the only thing that it did was bend it back in after Shechita, I would think that's not a valid sign of Pirkos. Kamash Mulan, that's what we have to have Shmuel come along to say, that even if all it did was bend its leg back in, that's sufficient for Pirkos and the animal's kosher. Now, basically, we have a question. Rabbi Yossi says, Hay Rameir Omer, the Rameir used to say, Gaya Bashash Shechita ain't the Pirkos. If it moves at the time of Shechita, that's not Pirkos. And Rabbi Yossi says in his name, Afilu Hitila Rei, Vikishkab is Nava, ain't the Pirkos. Even if it defecated or shook its tail, that's also not Pirkos. So Kashu Gaya Gaya, Kashu Rea Rei. We have a question, Gaya on Gaya and Rei on Rei. Rav said that Gaya is a valid sign of Pirkos, whereas we just said now it's not. And Rav said that Rei is a valid sign of Pirkos, whereas we just said now that it's not. How do we answer this? The answer is Gaya, Gaya, like Kasha. There's no steer Gaya on Gaya. Ha, Rav's din that Gaya is valid. Da'avi Kala. That means it has a strong mu, a strong voice. So clearly it has chiyus, it has vitality to it. Whereas Ha, Da'ami Kala. This basically we just quoted. The Rabbi Yossi was saying in the name of Meir that Gaya is not valid. That's talking about where it was very soft, it was weak, and that's not a valid indication that it had chiyus, it had vitality to it. And Rei, Rei, Nami like Kasha. There's no steer Rei on Rei either. And this brass we just quoted, it's talking about that after Shechita, the Rei just kind of trickled out of the animal, so that doesn't show any chios, as opposed to by Rav, when he said that Itila Rei is valid, that's where it came out very strongly from the animal, so that shows that it still has chios. Now the Gemara begins a discussion of when during Shechita the Pirkos needs to happen, in order for us to say that the animal didn't die too early. Everyone agrees that if the Pirkos happened too early, then that's not a sufficient indication of anything, because since it happened early, we're always able to say that the animal is still alive then, and that's why it did this Pirkos, but it's still possible that it died before Shechita. So the question is, what does that mean that it's too early? So Amar Chazir Chizda tells us, Pirkos Sha'amru, this Pirkos that they said, that if the animal was Mefarches, so it's still kosher because it died due to the Shechita, that's beside Shechita at the end of the Shechita. And my beside Shechita, what does that mean at the end of the Shechita? Be'emtza Shechita. It actually means in the middle of the Shechita, Lafuke Tchila Shechita Deloy, it's just excluding the very beginning of the Shechita, that that's not a valid indication because very well could be that it's actually 100% still alive at that point in time. Therefore, the Pirkos that's necessary for us to see that's a valid indication that it died because of Shechita, not beforehand, is a Pirkos in the middle of Shechita. Now, because it further explains, but Amin Allah, how do I know this? Did none, because words of Mishnah say, Behema taka shapashta yad v'leich zira psula. If a small animal by Shechita stretched out its leg and didn't fold it back up, it's pasul. Now, the question is, Amas, when is it this happened that we say that it's pasul? Elaim b'sayv Shechita, if you want to say Mishnah is referring to the end of Shechita, we'll call hechi techa v'tezel. Do you really want to say that it has to live that long, meaning that it has to show this sign of vitality, this sign of chiyos, all the way at the end of Shechita, they would have to stretch its leg out and fold it back in, and that's the only valid sign? sign, that's requiring a sign of life very late in the game. That can't be what the Mishnah is requiring, says Rav Chisda. Ella, be'emza shechita, it must be it's referring to the middle of shechita. So that's when we see that Pirkus is valid. However, Amalei Rav, Rav told him, not a raya, la'olam b'sav shechita. We can really say that Pirkus is necessary at the end of shechita, shani yomer, because I say, kol she'ena oisa kein b'sav shechita, that if the animal didn't show this sign at the end of shechita, b'yadua shenisham tulahe menakadim l'chein, then it's clear that it died before then. And so therefore, you have no raya from the Mishnah. We have another opinion though, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, he says, Pirkus she'amru b'tchilas shechita. The Pirkus that they said could even be at the beginning of shechita, and even that is sufficient for us to say that it died because of shechita and not beforehand. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak continues saying, Minu Aminullah, how do I know this? Tanan, because the Mishnah says, Amar Rav Shimon tells us, Hashecha b'layla, if a person shechted an animal at night, ulamachar matzak sa'am layim dam, and the next day he found that the walls are full of blood, ksheira it's kosher, shezinka, because that means that the blood shot out really strongly, and that's a sign of chiyas of vitality, and it can be used for Belezer. This is just like Rav Belezer, because Rav Belezer himself had said in the Mishnah that the blood shooting out is a sign of chiyas. And Amar Shmuel clarified this, this referring to the walls of the place of shechita, meaning the neck area where it was shechted, if those walls of the animal's neck were found covered with blood, that's a sign that it died because of shechita, not beforehand. Now here's the analysis. Everyone wants to say that it's okay to have pirkas at the beginning of shechita, so this is perfectly fine. Eli amrit b'sav shechita, but if you want to say that we have to have pirkas at the end of shechita, we should be chosh in this situation that the zinuk, this shooting out of blood from the animal's neck, happened at the beginning of shechita, and there's no way for him to know that, because remember, he was shechting at night, so he didn't know when it happened. He was only able to check it in the morning. And since we're not chashish for that, since the Mishnah says very simply, if he sees in the morning that the walls of the animal's neck are full of blood, it must be that it had the zinuk, that it had the shooting out of blood in its kosher, and that could be even the beginning of shechita. So that's a good raya. Says the Gemara, not a raya. V'tomashani zinuk da'adif. Maybe zinuk is different because it's stronger, it's better. In other words, there's different levels of pirkos. Some are more indicative than others, and zinuk could be something that's a very strong indication because that requires a lot of chiyas, a lot of vitality for that to happen. And so therefore, even if it happens at the beginning of shechita, that would be valid. But it could be other forms of pirkos are not good in the beginning of shechita and only good in the middle or the end. Asking more, mi'adif, is it really better? Is it stronger? Vatanan, the Mishnah itself says, Rebbe Lezer says, dayo im zinka. It's sufficient if it was mezanek, if it shot out blood. And the solution of daya, that it's sufficient, is mashma, that he's being more makel. That it doesn't have to be where Rambam Gamliel said, it has to do pirkos on both a front and back leg. Dayo, it's sufficient, it's enough of its zinuk. So we see it's actually a lower form of pirkos, not higher. So the Gemara answers, no. You're right, it's lighter, it's more makel of a type than Rambam Gamliel was saying. However, it's better than the Rabbanon, which is the opinion right afterwards. So we do see from here that zinuk is, at least in some form, a pretty strong type of pirkos. However, Amar Vina, Vina says, not a raya. Amar Lisan Bar Chilkai, Rosan Bar Chilkai told me that Akshi Ba Avud Bar Abavram, the father of Vua Bar Abavram, which basically means Abavram himself, and the only reason why we're calling him the father of Bar Abavram is because, as Rashi explains, his son was much more well known than he was, so he's just being called the father of his son. He's the father of Bar Abavram, and Vamrila, some say he was Achud Bar Abavram, the brother of Bar Abavram. Then with Rabbanan B'Adif, is what Rav Lezer suggested in the Mishnah, Zinuk. Is that really stronger than the Rabbanan are saying? Vatana, the Mishnah tells us, Achamr and Nucham say, Achetafarches, Oy B'Yad, Oy B'Regel, and told us Pirkus, either with a front leg or a back one. Narbanan Hayakaimu, who are the Rabbanan going on? Ilema Adam Gamliel, if you want to say they're going on Cheetahs from Gamliel, well, really a different Lashon should be used. Kivan Shepirkus Ami Ba'alei, I should have said, since it was Mefarches in this way. In other words, Rambam Gamliel said that we need Pirkus with both a Yad and a Regel, and if the Chum are commenting just on Rambam Gamliel, they should have said no. Kivan, that either a Yad or a Regel was done, so that's okay. And they didn't use that Lashon, they used Lashon of Ad, Elipshita Ad Rebbe Lezer. It must be they're going on Shitas Rebbe Lezer. And Vyadif, if you want to say that this Zinuk of Rebbe Lezer is stronger than the Rabbanan's Pirkos, then my Ad, why do they use this Lashon of Ad? Ad is an argument suggesting that you need something even more than that. That no, it's not like what you're saying, Rebbe Lezer. Ad, it's only until it does XYZ. If they were trying to be Makel, they wouldn't use the Lashon of Ad. So actually, we see from here, the Rebbe Lezer's din of Zinuk is not more Machmir than the Rabbanan, it's more Makel, which turns out that it's more Makel than both Rambam Gamliel and the Rabbanan. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak has no raya from the Mishnah for his Shita. We go on to third Shita, Rav Amar, he says, Pirchas Sha'amru, this Pirchas they said, which is necessary, Besav Shita, it's at the end of Shita, which means that it has to happen all the way at the end of Shita, and maybe even a little bit after Shita, and then that way we're able to see, because of this Pirchas, that the animal died because of Shita and not beforehand. Now, Amar Rav further clarifies, but no, how do I know this? That's because of Tanya, we have a Brisa. Now we're about to quote a Pasuk, and the Pasuk tells us, Shar Chesav Eiz Ki Yivaled, Ashar Chesav Eiz, when it's born, V'haya Shivas Yom Tachas Imai, and should be 7 days, Tachas Imai, along with its mother or under its mother, Umiyam Hashmini V'hala, and from the 8th day and on, Yeratzel Korban Yishel Hashem, it can be brought as a Korban. In other words, the Pasuk is basically telling us that when a baby animal is born, it first has to be with its mother for 7 days, and only on the 8th day is allowed to be brought as a Korban. So I'll explain this piece by piece. Shar, Lamed Chesav Beis on top, and Chesav, what's this referring to? Prat l'kilayim, it's excluding animal that's kilayim, meaning if the parents were forbidden mixture, so the animal that was born from this forbidden mixture of animals is not allowed to be brought. Then when the pasuk says oy eiz, prat l'nidma, that excludes a nidma, which means it looks different. For example, both of its parents were goats and it looks like a sheep, that's not valid either as a karbon. Then when the pasuk says ki yavaled, prat l'yotzei daifen, that excludes yotzei daifen, which means a cesarean section. In other words, they had to cut the mother animal's stomach open and they took it out that way and it wasn't born naturally, so that can't be brought. And when the pasuk says shivas yamim, prat l'mechoser zman, that excludes if it's lacking time. That means if it's within its first 7 days of life, it's not allowed to be brought as a karbon. And then when it says tachas imoy, prat l'yosim, that excludes an orphaned animal. So the question now is, ha yosim echidami, what exactly is the situation of an orphaned animal? Even if you want to say dilidite ime v'hadar mesa, that its mother gave birth to it and then the mother died, well, olam techi v'tezel, do you want the mother to live forever? You can't expect the mother animal to be living forever after it gives birth. So that's not considered an orphaned animal. El rather, you want to say demesa v'hadar dilidite, that the mother animal died and then this baby animal was born. Well, that also is not necessary to have a special part of the pasuk because mechi yavaled nafka, that's learned from mechi yavaled. We just said before that ki yavaled excludes yotzei daifen if it had to be taken out of the mother's stomach, and that would be the situation as well. If the mother died and then the animal was born, that basically means that we had to cut the mother animal open to take out the baby, so that would be excluded from being brought as a karbon from mechi yavaled. El pshita, rather, it's obvious that zeh pirush l'misa v'zeh pirush l'chayim. We're talking about a situation where this one was going to death and this one was going to life, which means that the mother animal died basically just as she gave birth to the baby. So now Rava brings his raya. If you want to say they require the mother animal to be alive all the way at the end of giving birth to its baby, so that's why we have to have a pasuk to exclude it if the mother animal is not alive all the way at the end of giving birth to its baby and a little bit afterwards. So that's why we have to have a pasuk to say that in that situation the baby animal is not allowed to be brought because it's considered to be an orphaned animal. But if you want to say that we don't require the mother animal to be alive the entire time that it's giving birth and even all the way at the end, so normally what do we need a special pasuk for? We just learned this from ki yavaled that such an animal is not allowed to be brought. Must be seen from this pasuk that we always look at the end of the animal's life, and that would be the same thing by pirkus. In order to be able to say that it's not a mesukenes, it has to be mefarkes all the way at the end of shechita and even a little bit afterwards, and then we know that it's valid and it died because of the shechita and not beforehand. We continue discussing this. Amar Rava tells us hilchasa, what's the bottom line halacha? Ki hamasnisa, like the following brisa, behema daka, a small animal, shapashta yada v'leich zira, that it stretched out the front leg but didn't fold it back up, psulat's puzzle. Now, but when was that said? Biyad, only with the front leg, of a beregel, but a back leg, bein pashta v'le kafva, bein kafva v'le pashta, kshera, whether it stretched it out and didn't fold it back, or if it folded it and didn't stretch it out, it's kosher. Now, but when was this said? Bidak, only with a small animal, of a begasa, with a large animal, bein biyad, bein beregel, bein pashta v'le kafva, bein kafva v'le pashta, kshera, both by front leg and back leg, whether it stretched it out and didn't fold it, or folded it and didn't stretch it out, not a problem, it's kosher, because it's a large animal, not a small one. Now, v'aif, with a bird, afilu loy rifrif el agapai, even if it only just fluttered its wing after shechita, or if it only just shook its tail, haris pirkos, that's a valid pirkos. So the question is, what's Rava bring this brisa for? What's it teaching us? Kula tanani, all this was taught in our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Behema daka, small animal, shapashta yada v'leich zira, if it stretched out its front leg and didn't bring it back, psula, that's possible, she'ena el yitzas nefesh, because that's just an expression of it dying, but that doesn't show that it died due to the shechita. It could be that it died beforehand. And what do we see from here? Yad in, regeloi, this applies to a front leg, not a back leg, and daka in, gasoloi, this applies to a small animal, not a large animal. So what does Rava have to bring this brisa for? That's all brought in the Mishnah, and no one argues with that part of the Mishnah. And the answer is, you're right. The reason for Rava bringing this brisa is that we need to know about what the din of pirkas for a bird is, and that was not taught in our Mishnah, but it is taught in this brisa. And on to another Mishnah. If a yid shechted an animal for a non-Jew, an ayva kachavim, over here we're specifically talking about an idol worshiper, not just a regular non-Jew, but an idol worshiper, so his shechita is kosher. Now, Rebelezer apostles, and Rebelezer further says, Afil shachta lecha la'evi kachavim mechatzar kavid shala psula, even if the yid shechta the animal just so that the non-Jew is able to eat from its chatzar kavid, which is basically its diaphragm, still it's possible. And why is that? Shasta machshavas o'evi kachavim le'avoidas kachavim, the standard machshava of an o'evi kachavim is for his avoidas kachavim, and therefore, even though just a tiny part of this animal is going to be going to this o'evi kachavim, and the rest of it's going to the yid, and the yid shechted it properly, and he had the proper thoughts, since the owner, the Baal, the Avi Kachavim, his standard machshava, his standard thought process is for Avi Kachavim, for idol worship, so that's why this animal is possible. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, so he's our third opinion, Kavachimra Advarim, we have a Kavachimra the other way around. Umaba Makam Shemachshava Paisels Mugdashin, just like in a situation where machshava does possible, that's by Mugdashin, by a carbon, it only goes after the Avid, the one who's doing the Avida, meaning the Kaihen, will Makam Shein Machshava Paisels, Bechulin, a place where machshava doesn't possible, which is by regular Chulin, we're just talking about a shechit of a regular animal in our Mishnah, not a carbon. So, in a din shlo Shouldn't we say for sure it just goes after the Shaychet? And since the Shaychet is a Yid, what does it make a difference what the owner who's an Eved Kochavim is thinking? It doesn't have any effect, and Mimela, the Shechita of his animal, is kosher. So we have three different opinions in our Mishnah. We have the Tanakama, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Yasi. So now the Gemara tells us, Hani Tanoi, Islahud, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yasi. The first two Tanoim of our Mishnah, the Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer, they both agree in Shechita's Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yasi. The Tanoim of Abraisa, Amar Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yasi, Shamati, I heard, Shabbalim Faglim, that the owner could affect Pigol. Now we know that Pigol is with a carbon in the base of Mikdash, and the most basic understanding of Pigol is when the Kayan, for example, shechts an animal with intention that he's going to eat the meat, chutz lizmanoi, beyond the proper time frame that's allowed. So Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yasi says, I heard that even the owner could affect Pigol. So how does that fit with Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer of Aramishna? Miu, Tanakam Savar, the Tanakam holds, Isham ini de chashiv. It's only if we heard that that's what the non Jews' machshava was. So in, that's going to passel the animal being shechted by the Yid, Eloi, Loi. But if we didn't hear, meaning if we don't know for sure that that's what the machshava of the non Jew is, that he wants this animal shechted for his avod zara, so the Yid's shechita is not going to be passel, it's going to be perfectly fine. In other words, what do we see from here? Stam machshavas oivik chavim, lavais chavim, Loi aminon. We don't say that the standard thought process, the standard machshava of a non-Jew is for his avod zarah, and therefore, unless we heard it explicitly from him, so the shechita is kosher. Whereas Rabbi Lezer, so Rabbi Lezer holds afal gavdu loy shamini dechashiv, even though we didn't hear explicitly that he has this machshava that this guy wants it to be for his avod zarah, still it's possible. Why is that? Stam machshavas oivik chavim, lavais chavim aminon. We do say that the standard machshava of a non-Jew is for his avod zarah, and therefore, in all situations, the yid shechting the animal for the non-Jew is possible because we assume that's for his avod zarah. So we can see that in essence, Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer agree to what Rabbi Lezer Yasi holds, that the owner is able to affect a psul even though he's not the one that's shechting it. Now, also Rabbi Yasi Meimer, Rabbi Yasi in our Mishnah comes along to say that afal gav shamine de chashiv, even if we did hear that the non-Jewish owner of this animal has a machshava that he wants it to be for avod zarah, ze machashiv ze oivid le'amrinon, we don't say that this person's machshava affects this person who's doing the avoda. Who's doing the shechita? The yid. So who cares what the non-Jewish owner's machshava is? So we see that Rabbi Yasi fundamentally disagrees with both Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer. Now the Gemara says this slightly differently. Some say that actually the first two Tanaim of our Mishnah are arguing when they did hear what the non-Jew's intent was. Tanakama holds, when do we say that if the owner has machshava and somebody else is doing that avoda, the owner's machshava still affects that avoda? That's only inside. That means in the Beis HaMikdash, the owner could affect what the kohen is doing, even though the kohen didn't have a problematic machshava, the owner did that will affect it. Aval b'chutz loy, but outside, meaning just shechting a regular animal outside, like in our Mishnah, so the owner's machshava doesn't affect it, and that's because chutz mipnim lamitas amar alfa on top loy alfinon. We don't learn outside from inside. We don't learn shechting a regular animal from shechting a carbon. And vasser b'lezer lemeimer, b'lezer comes to argue with Tanakama, and he says that no, yalfinu chutz mipnim. We do learn outside from inside. And vasser b'yaisi lemeimer, b'yaisi comes along to say afil b'fnim nami, even in the base of mikdash is emachashiv is aivid loy amrinon. The fact that the owner has machshava and the kohen's doing the avoda, we don't say that, meaning the owner's machshava doesn't negatively affect the carbon that the kohen is doing the avoda with. And that's a different way of understanding our Mishnah. We're going to stop it for the day, and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.